Hello, this is the talk for St John's Church Birkdale from November the 5th, 2023. And today's talk is called David's Downfall from 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 1 to 10. And today's talk was written and delivered in church by Reverend Roy Doran. And this is Tim Wright reading it on Roy's behalf. So this morning we're continuing to look at the lives of three kings in the Old Testament. You may remember that I first spoke about Saul, who didn't remain obedient to God's word. Lucy then spoke about David, who overcame the giant Goliath and was anointed by Samuel as a future king, even though he was still a teenager. He had to wait some 15 years before this became a reality. Christine then spoke about David's dependency on God. And from this, we learnt something of the importance of our absolute need for our dependency upon God if we are going to remain true as Christians. And now it's my turn to share something of the temptations which came David's way and the cause of his big fall. In order to do this justice, I need to share something of the reason for his human failing. 2 Samuel 11 verse 1 to 26 gives us the reason for this fall from grace. And here's a brief summary of what happened. David had gone up onto the roof of the palace, and while up there, he had a look round and he spotted a beautiful young lady having a bath. This caught his eye and he became somewhat curious about who she was. So he sent someone up to find out. He discovered it was Bathsheba. Now she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And using his kingly authority, David sent someone to get her. She arrived and before long they ended up in bed together. And the result, well, it was pregnancy. Now we just need to think what David has done, just for a minute. Chapter 11, verses 2 to 3, it says David covets another man's wife as he spotted her bathing and sent for her to go to him. And then in verses 4 and 5, he commits adultery with her. Verse 6, he attempts to cover up the affair through deceit and lies. Verses 14 to 15, he then masterminds the potential murder of the woman's husband by sending him knowingly to the front line where David knew he was going to be killed. Now, we're not going to go into too much detail about what happened next, but if you want to discover the plot to get rid of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, then you need to get your Bibles out and read for yourselves. David's evil tactics ended up with Uriah dead and Bathsheba moving into the palace, getting married to David and then bearing a son. We also, though, need to remind ourselves of David's commitment towards serving God. But for now, he's moved outside of God's will by letting his own human failings get in the way by coveting another man's wife, by committing adultery, by lying, and then by murder. And we know only too well that these are very much part of the Ten Commandments which David would have known and would have been striving to adhere to. But now, each of these ungodly actions point ultimately to the heart of David's sin in that he ignored the word of God and as a result broke his relationship with the Lord himself. So what happens next? Well, let's listen to a reading from 2 Samuel chapter 12 verses 1 to 10. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little lamb. He raised it, and it grew it with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveller came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveller who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against this man, having heard this story, and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. When confronted by Nathan, David was hit right between the eyes with the truth. He comes then before the Lord and he repents. But there will be consequences of his actions. Again, if you read these in the Bible, then check out the rest of the verses in chapter 12. And there's also something for all of us to learn from David's story. The reality is that those Ten Commandments are just as real today as they were when they were first shared with Moses by God, which was recorded in Exodus chapter 20. David's intentions weren't necessarily to seduce Bathsheba. He went up onto the roof, more likely than not, for a breath of fresh air. But what he saw was something which caused his mind to begin to think of things that he shouldn't really have thought. And he became tempted by his own human feelings. Now, we are all sexual human beings, and that's how God has made us. We have the privilege to procreate, but only under the right circumstances and as God originally intended. The problem arises when our humanity takes over and things can become and distorted. And this is just what the devil wants. He knows our human weakness and he plays on that. Our only hope of resistance is to walk even closer with God, seeking more of his power to help us withstand such temptation. Temptation to sin is always going to come our way, whether it be in the way that David was tempted or in some other way. It's not a sin to be tempted, but it is to give in to it. The world is far from what God intended it to be. And we have to realise for ourselves that the influences of this world are very real, but they're also far from what God wanted for his people. So there's no one to blame but ourselves as the human race. Nowadays, we need to look no further than our TV screens or the influence of the media, which are thrust down our throats, to realise the power they can and do have upon all of us. It's no wonder, then, that so many of us can fall by the wayside from time to time. God gave us the freedom to make choices for ourselves. But sadly, sometimes we don't always make the right choices. And David's actions didn't stop there with his adultery. No, it led him to try to cover up his actions by lying and then arranging to plot to have Uriah killed. Last week, Tim spoke about such times when we can all find ourselves in the pits at some time or other in our lives. Not necessarily in the same way that David did, but nonetheless in ways that are just as real to us. He also spoke about the importance of crying out to God, realising that God, through his grace and mercy, can and will put things right in our lives if we only confess them to him and change our behaviour. When David was confronted with Nathan's revelation, he took this very positive step in order to put things right, and he did this by repenting and confessing his failings. And it's something we all need to do. And this could or should be more regular than perhaps we might think. We're reminded, aren't we, in the scriptures, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just and he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. None of us are beyond the redeeming love of Christ. This is the very reason he went to the cross for each and every one of us. Once we get that into our mindset and act upon that, then we will have a chance of having all of our sins forgiven and resisting the temptations which will come our way. So we have choices to make, and it's about how we choose to live. We can easily live by the world's standards, or we can live by God's standards. It's a choice we all have to make, and it's done by realising our own tendency to fall by the wayside and give in to the world's standards, or to be determined to read, mark, learn and live by God's standards. And how do we discover God's standards? By hearing the gospel, by reading God's word, both New and Old Testament, and by seeking the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer. God's promise is that he will never leave us, and he does that by giving us his Holy Spirit to guide us in every area of our lives. God knew what David had done, so he acted by sending Nathan to challenge David. And like David was later going to experience, there will be consequences of our behaviour and the lifestyles we choose. But the one hope we have is that when we try to live as God wants us to, then we have a chance of succeeding. That's commitment, determination, and dependency on him in all things. And the only way to detect error is to know the truth. Our promise from God is that we will inherit the kingdom of heaven if we walk in harmony with him and glorify him in our choices and lifestyles. Heaven is a place where there is no sin. Because if it wasn't a sinless place, then God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit would not dwell there. What's the alternative? Well, it must be hell. The downfall of David was very real, and we can all learn from his mistakes and his journey more closely with the Lord day by day. We will hear when Clive next talks with us about how God does deal graciously with David's situation in a very positive way in order to fulfill his will and his purpose for his people. God will do all that because he has said that he will. Amen.